Name now those heroes whose courage and cunning through equine device wrought the firefall of Troy. Now we remember them. Nestor, Diomedes, Achilles, stark fighter, Patroclus, doomed boy.
Menelaus, aggressive, Agamemnon, officious.
Odysseus.
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 The travels and travails of red-haired Odysseus. Nimble wit hero, they called him. Knife keen.
His voyage to Ithaca. Home sweet home Ithaca. Eager for homeland, for son and for queen. This we sing.
This we sing.
Sing his voyage, sing now.
After 10 years of warfare, sing as his sharp prow cleaves the fine wine-dark sea.
Hear his mariners row.
His comrades in arms all reached home long ago.
Remorseless, jolly, hero he ranks.
Ithacan Wally,
thick as two planks.
Oh, I wish the wind had get up.
Don't even think it. Rowing, we got some control, but get him sails full and him at the helm.
Know what you mean.
Jolly good, chaps. Keep it long and level.
It was only south from Troy. Right-handed round the bottom of Greece. Turn right and up the other side. How long is it now?
3 years.
Go on. Is it? 3? Don't time fly.
Land ho, Lord Odysseus.
Where away?
Oh, directly for.
Oh, up in front. Excellent.
And actually quite close up in front.
Absolutely. Who's that on the rocks beckoning us in? Tall chappy, patch over one eye.
Stop rowing!
Steady, number one. Steady, I give orders here. Oh, stop rowing.
Extraordinary. No one's ever tried to row their way inland like that. Can I give you a hand out of the wreckage?
Morning. Good morning. Odysseus, King of Ithaca. There you are, Eurylochus. I said we'd make landfall sometime today.
Yes, sir.
Do come along into the cave. You'll find it quite cozy. I'm Polyphemus, by the way.
One of the Cyclops Polyphemus?
That's right. The French call me Polly. Do come along. Well, here we are. Me and ever so humble and all that.
It's very cozy.
Sheep pens over there, fire over here.
Spacious.
Sound poor cove like your humble Polly here with one eye on the bleak needs a bit of room. But wine over there. Now, do you know what your hungry old Polly here fancies? Nice, hot, sizzling steak. What about it, old boy?
Most kind. Now, by the by, may I present to you my second in command?
Delighted.
Oh! Don't tell me. Whereupon the vile Polyphemus seized the brave mariner, devouring him without further ado. Well, with some ado, presumably, i.e. crunching the bones, spitting out eyeballs.
Teeth and toenails.
Nose hairs, that sort of thing.
Thus it was with the appalling Cyclops, the one eye.
Peering balefully from the middle of his horrible head. Go on.
Yes, well, Queen Alopecia, we were, as I say, ushered into this large cave.
Driven thither by terror and might.
Though thirsting for revenge.
Well, we were thirsty, Your Majesty, King Dermatitis, and we settled down.
To woeful and doleful captivity, while the monstrous and cannibalistic monocular giant blocked the cave entrance.
With a boulder of titanic dimension.
Go on.
Nice, hot, sizzling steak. Oh, you can see it coming.
Oh, Polyphemus, good.
This is ridiculous.
Listen, my lord. Here we are, shipwrecked on the island of Scrofula, a nasty little land, ruled by nasty little people, needing a new ship, fresh provisions. Now, all they want is a good story. Give them what they expect.
Polly was perfectly pleasant and hospitable. Heroes never lie. I liked old Polly.
Oh, heroes lie all the time, sir. What else does being cunning mean?
We are waiting, and we are royal, squire.
Noble King Dermatitis. Gracious Queen Alopecia, my lord, the hero, is moved at the tragic memory of that dread cavern. Let me, I pray, continue.
Oh, I don't know. He's a hero.
Well, I'm a fully paid-up member of the Bard and Soothsayers Guild.
Are you?
Oh, grade one.
Oh, we've never had a grade one before. Go on.
As dusk, with his downy fingers, stroked the world asleep.
Oh, yes.
Dread was our terror, but yet more dread, the anticipation.
Two more, then, did the giant devour. 20 hogsheads of wine did the giant sluice down his monstrous throat.
It'd be red wine. Red with meat, white with fish.
Ridiculous.
Go on.
And
this is a choric link. Just when the action begins to run out, like the wine in your glass or the sand in the egg timer, we interject with a relevant chorus. Mind curtains close as time's deemed to pass.
Often such choric links mix with a fade.
Now we can tell you the scene moves to Ithaca.
Long sought for Ithaca. Bring up the sound of a room in the palace where servants sit talking, the clinkings of jugs as they pass the wine round.
Faithful Eumaeus and loyal Eurycleia, noble in servitude, serving the crown.
Poor frogging suitors.
It'd be a different story if himself ever turned up.
He won't be back. Anyway, you know who's having the time of her life, what? 100-odd suitors after her hand, and anything else that's going. Last thing she wants, husband back after all these years. Poor old Nimblewit, noble king, cunningest of lords.
I sit as a plank with no sense of direction. I blame you.
We all spoiled him, you did too.
You're supposed to be a soothsayer. You didn't foresee all this?
I don't foresee much these days, gal.
Oh, don't get morbid. Drink up. What you brought me?
Nice bit of pork.
Pork. Nothing but pork.
What else do you expect from a royal swineherd? Pearls? Oh, hey, up. Here's trouble.
We shall descend. Inform the rout. That they may expect my royal...
This is the queen. Her name is Penelope.
Her mind is obscene, and she should be in therapy.
Where are my jewels? I thought I asked for them to be brought.
All right.
All right would seem to us a shade lacking in servile abjection.
You'll have bunions one day, my girl.
This palace is stuffed with wrinkled and redundant disobedience. What is that terrible smell?
It's me, Mum, over here in the corner.
Eumaeus, I thought you died last year.
Oh, shooters is restless tonight.
Disgusting brutes with their vile short tunics and muscular thighs.
Oh, disgusting.
And hateful creatures, bronzed and bulging.
Keep your head still. There.
If only my own dear lord and master were here.
Absolutely.
I shall descend to be at their hateful mercy. Oh, the indignities to which a widow must submit.
Oh. Now she's a widow, is she?
We always said he was dead, from the neck up, leastwise.
She always said he were dead from the waist down.
Don't leave a lot in the middle. Still, a king is a king. Pass the jug.
Yes, a poor heart that never rejoices.
Antinous, Agelous, Amphinomous, Academon, Adonis, Adrestus.
When that Odysseus, red-haired Odysseus, failed to return from the taming of Troy, offers of kinship and trade and condolences flowed to the queen and her sweet infant boy.
After such treaties, the neighboring kingdoms sent other ambassadors favors to win, hapless spare sons from high, haughty families, suitors to be, lacking prospect or chin.
They've been here for years now, more come every springtime to see queen and fortune regretting the waste. 112 at this latest of roll calls.
The queen's widely known as Penelope the Chaste.
We are in Delartes. Zuma and Jacques to me minor. Aye, senor. And now, my lords, and lords. The best of order, for here she is. Genially, generous, and regally riotous. Queen and sole ruler of Ithaca. Your undoubted hostess with a definite mostess. And if you look after this penny, the pals will take care of themselves, believe me.
Just get on with it.
So let's hear it for the desirable, delicious, and delectably delightful Queen Penelope! Oh, cheer up. For it's games night, and we all know the prize, you lucky old suitor, wherever you are. So, eyes down for a full house. Aye, Samuel.
Lady Swanson swimming, number 22. Two fat goddesses, 88. Series
hall. Leave the hall, but not the palace, for hospitality 20. Not renowned. Now we move as others are moving, extramural, underground.
Palace guards patrol the palace, well equipped with torch and hound, unaware that action's moving extramural, underground.
Suitors must not leave the palace. Punishments are sharp and plural, driving suitor prisoners downwards, underground and extramural.
All right, Eurydamas.
Yes, thanks, Demotolus. Rotten luck. Oh, dear God. She's won somebody. Oh, we must get out of this. We must.
Easy, old chap. Get a grip.
Oh, thanks, old man.
Not such a tight grip, maybe.
Oh, sorry. Nothing personal. It's just the thought of that dreadful woman. She'll consume us all if we don't get away, like some monstrous spider.
We'll get there, youngster. With the right spirit, we'll tunnel down to the harbor stowaway and goodbye forever to the Merry Widow. Shall we dig a bit together?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd like that, Demotolus.
We've known each other a little now. Call me Demo.
You.
Sorry?
You.
Me?
No, me. You.
What?
A short for Eurydamas. My friends call me you. I'd like you to call me you, too.
Can we just dig?
Oh, it is so humiliating to have one's mother actually gambling for some hideous bedfellow.
Drink your hot milk.
I hate hot milk.
How you knows?
Oh. Look, Euryclea, can we try to get this straight yet again? I am not a little child anymore. I'm 24.
That's right. Good boy.
Oh, there'll be changes one day. Anyway, gambling...
This is Telemachus, son to Odysseus, hardly remembers his father at all, raised by his mother and nanny Euryclea, not at all pleased with what's on in the hall.
Telemachus longs for the just revolution. Not really political, he deprecates fun. Spotty and furious, like little Puritan. Ithaca and Wally, like father, like son.
The nobility breed lethargically like frog spawn and ship off spare sons to sponge on places like Ithaca just to get them out of their hair and expense account and into somebody else's.
You're noble.
It's not the same. The idle rich.
You're idle and rich.
I'm a thinker. That makes the difference.
You're a sour little gooseberry.
I am your prince.
Not that you agree with titles or snobbery.
If only my father had returned, the noblest of men. Cunning, they call him, you know.
Oh, that's right, dear.
Stood 6'4" in his sandals. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. There'd have been changes if he'd come home. You're not listening.
Oh, yes, dear, of course I am. We are back. Who'd you win them?
If you mean who has the good fortune to share our royal bed, his name is Polybus. Just my luck to win one that sounds like public transport.
What are you doing here?
Cringing. How can you?
You'll be old and desperate one day.
He was born old and desperate.
I shall bathe.
I'll run the water. Polybus. Ha, all aboard.
Geriatric insolence. I don't know why I keep her.
A lifetime service and then a scrap heap. Charming. Very gracious.
Just my luck. A small country, fabulously fertile, groaning with food and drink and sexed up to the eyeballs with sunshine and vitamins. Complete freedom, all mine. And my only son and heir doesn't drink, is strictly vegan, has spots and disapproves of premarital and probably postmarital sex.
If my father were here, there'd be changes.
And look for him.
What?
Yes. Dutiful son, filial bonds. You know the sort of thing. Take a ship, any ship. Choose a crew, any crew. Go in search of this immaculate father of yours.
Oh, but that'd mean deserting you, leaving you among the insolent suitors.
Listen, Telemachus. Where do you think Ithaca gets its wealth from?
We grow things, I suppose. How am I to know? I'm a thinker, not an economist. I've seen things growing on farms. We fish.
We depend on what we might loosely call a suitor economy. Every day or so down at the harbour, suitors arriving, gifts from their families unloading, employment for dockers, harbour fees, expensive gifts, sailors come ashore needing accommodation and entertainment, provisions for the return journey. Do you ever study the figures in the office?
Well, no.
Go and look for your father. Take a holiday. That's a royal command.
That's running.
Prince Telemachus is going on a holiday.
That's nice. Long holiday?
No.
Yes.
Ooh, you'll be sorry.
Manners?
You look tired, dear. It's that spotty Puritan I seem to have spawned.
The boy needs a father. You should choose, you know. You're not getting any younger, and all good things come to an end.
But not yet. I shall think of a plan in the bath.
Hang about now. There comes a time in smart-ass modernizations when the chorus abandons verse and bursts into breathless prose that's been slightly tarted up, like this. Stay with the story.
Voyaging from the island of Scrofula, an epic misreading of the stars led to an epic disagreement between Eurylochus, who knew what he was doing, and Odysseus, who hadn't a clue. But pulling rank, rudder, and a variety of ropes, ran the nasty little boat onto Aeolian rocks.
Now Odysseus named the island of Aeolia the Floating Island, thus explaining its sudden appearance dead ahead in broad daylight. His crew called the island and the hero names of a nature less picturesque but decidedly more colourful. Clever stuff, this.
Clever stuff, that. Now, the ruler of this island was Aeolus, who, in an epic attempt to retain family fortune, had married his six daughters to his six sons, which meant, of course, that the resultant children's mothers and fathers were also their aunts and uncles. Nevertheless, apart from the addressing of birthday and Christmas presents, they all lived remarkably happily together and welcomed the shipwrecked Odysseus and his crew, since family gossip can become a bore. They were avid for entertainment and fun.
But, having made the error of casually asking Odysseus what he'd been up to lately, they were appalled to have him relate in full and appallingly minute detail the 10-year siege of Troy and the burgeoning saga of his journey home.
So, after 9 hours, Odysseus and his men were carried in state, Odysseus still reciting, down to the harbour and aboard a ship which was rapidly made ready to sail. As a parting gift, Aeolus, who had a sense of humour, presented the hero with a leather sack containing, he said, the four winds.
Not seeing the joke.
Windbag, get it?
Grateful Odysseus sailed away.
Incest la vie, quipped Eurylochus to the nimble-witted hero, who was still pretending not to understand the joke about the leather bag. Meanwhile, back in Ithaca...
If you please, the best order, if you please. I thank you. My lords, lords, and lords, a message from our sponsor and hostess, Queen Penelope. A message reads, 1, Queen Penelope agrees to marry. 2, agrees to marry one of you. 3, agrees to marry the one of you who provides most in the way of betrothal gifts from abroad, and 4, will make her choice known very soon, i.e., and to wit, as soon as she has completed the decorative and very lovely tapestry currently on view in the arts and crafts room. Good game, good game. Oh, some enthusiasm, if you please.
Done what?
You heard. Oh, come on, out of that bath. Here's the towel.
Look the other way.
Oh, I've seen it all before. You've not got anything special. Diggle, diggle, diggle.
Get away from me, you sex-crazed crone.
Look, why don't you let your old nanny go and choose your nice young serving girl for nights? It'll cheer you up.
A revolutionary leader must be unspotted.
And that lets you out then, do you?
Oh, shut up and open the window.
Hello? What's he scuttling about for?
Where?
Him. Look. Suitor. Down there.
Oh, that is definitely conspiratorial.
Is it, dear? I don't know all their names.
I shall surprise him.
Oh, you'll surprise him all right with just a towel round your neck.
Oh, you might have told me I only have a towel round my neck. All right, you chaps. Every chap got a drink? Eurydamus?
Yes, thanks.
Amphimedon?
Rather.
What's this secret meeting about, Dina?
Shh!
Oh, sorry.
To decide what to do in view of the announcement about the Queen's marrying and all that. But first things first. All stand for ritual whinging. Raise glasses. This land is a disgrace.
Yay! We whinge!
The Queen an abomination.
Yay! Yay, we win!
The people...
This will drag on for a number of minutes. Yay, ritual whinging, you'll find it a bore.
Time, jump on forward. This rather strange sound is Telemachus charging a very strong door.
Oh, Politica!
Oh! Rocket.
And you can't even get a decent cup of tea.
Yay, we whinge!
I say, what the devil was that?
Nobody ordered room service?
No.
I say, we've been infiltrated.
Drag him in, quick. Talk, Telemachus. How did you know? This meeting is strictly secret and conspiratorial.
All right, damn you. I'll talk. I'll talk of a time. I'll talk of a place. Ithaca. My country. Mine. Ithaca. Most of all, Ithaca without you and 100 like you. Oh, Ithaca, oh, Ithaca, my heart
just
to thee I
all
pledge.
Will
oh,
you
Ithaca,
shut up?
My...
That is precisely what we want.
Then why don't you go?
Parental pressures, old boy. You see, we've all been sent here by our families to marry your mother and get our hands on her money and land.
Still, at least we don't have to bother about the tunnel anymore.
What?
You see, Telemachus, we're younger sons. We've no cash of our own. How could we hire boats to go home?
Work your passages.
Yes, but unfortunately we're all from royal or noble families and therefore just the slightest bit useless.
What's all this about a tunnel?
I suppose it doesn't matter now. We've been digging our way from the palace during the last 9 months.
Why?
Don't know, really. With the concert parties became a bore. All that dressing up as gals.
I rather like that.
Yes. However, once we'd all taken the language classes...
And done the pottery and the painting...
We began the tunnel.
But what did you do with the sand?
Ate it.
Ate it?
Not easy.
No.
No, not easy at all. How are the piles, by the way, Demo?
Not important. What matters now is the difference that your mother's announcement is going to make, Telemachus.
Whoever and whenever she chooses, it's bound to be a destabilizing influence.
You'll never be king, for instance.
You'll be roaming the seas in such a royal crumpet like the rest of us.
Poor old thing.
I have come to a God-inspired and sudden decision. I shall take ship and seek my erring father.
Oh, good we.
Spoken like a son.
We'll come with you.
No, I shall sail secretly away. I trust you to keep my secret.
Don't worry, Telemachus. Mum's the word.
I don't find that even remotely humorous. What's that?
I feared this.
What?
It's the chorus, limbering up for a really big production number.
Through seas where men had seldom been, and all that entails, the third year of his epic voyage. On the hero sailed.
Damp highlands, deep in mystery, the hopeful crewmen hailed.
Hello?
At last, is this land Ithaca?
No.
On the hero sailed.
Upon a river broad they rode. Their master's will prevailed. He said he smelled their homeland near.
Hooray!
Sorry, chaps. Garlic.
On the hero sailed. Sludgy backwaters held their craft as firm as if 'twere nailed. Ithaca, cried the helmsman.
Think probably not.
On the hero sailed.
In the sixth year of this saga, the heroic venture fails.
The loyal crew turns mutinous.
Odysseus drops his sails.
Right, then. One out, all out. This boat is officially declared beached.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come along, chaps. Worse things happen at sea.
We are at sea, your royal wally.
We're all at frogging sea.
Number one. It's just rather unfair.
On the Richter scale of heroic defence, sir, rather unfair would seem to register a remarkably low reading.
Here, listen. Funny sort of noise. It's leather trousers and bondage chains.
Oh, don't be utterly absurd.
Hello, stranger.
Well, what's this here?
I am Circe, of the black leather pants and bondage chains, skilled in all enchantments, but with little love of mankind. No, only joking.
I am red-haired Odysseus of the nimble wits.
Only joking.
Usual thing, boat wrecked and everything lost.
As a matter of fact, yeah.
Yes, I thought so. Come on up to the house, all of you. I expect you'd like a bath and A massage before dinner.
Oh, word.
The girls will look after you.
Girls?
Where have I heard that word before?
Oh, what a very fine idea.
Thank you, no. Best be on our way. Boat to repair, you know.
Oh, come along.
I mean, married men and all that.
Yeah, thanks to you, I haven't seen my wife for more than 16 years.
Don't be silly, sir.
I beg your pardon.
This way, boy.
Oh, come on. Food, drink. Bar.
I refuse to make a beast of myself.
And I intend, like the others, I imagine, to be a real pig.
Oh!
Don't tell me. Whereupon the wicked enchantress cast a spell of such Circean dimension that the entire crew, once safely within her evil doors, were transformed to wild beasts. Go on.
Well, King Dermatitis of Scrofula, I prefer
more
not
wine,
to...
Alopecia.
Wine! Wine for everybody!
Ah, the heavy hand of fate. No man can know where or when it must afflict him.
In this way, did it seem that the hero was fated alway and ever to come again to wrack neath the scaly cliffs of Scrofula.
A royal and heroic mendicant, needing craft and provision from the store of Dermatitis and Alopecia, the Lord Odysseus struggled to relate the Circean episode.
The heavy hand of fate. Ah.
But wisely, your heroic self decided nimble-wittedly not to accompany them.
Sensing the enormous danger. Go on.
Well, it was quite difficult.
Lovey. I remember that the gentleman over the other side of the room is a grade one storyteller.
The smoky one with a silly lens.
Mm. I give up.
Yes, you do that, Squire. And you, go on.
Me?
You, yes, with the legs.
So... when more than rosy-fingered Dawn had fingered the sun into her diurnal round, the enchantress Circe struck at him with her long wand, and he reared back at her with his thick sword.
Oh, this is all getting a bit phallic, isn't it?
Oh, you are rude.
Oh, naughty but nice. Go on.
And so it fell out.
Don't tell me. You must be Odysseus, Circe cried.
The man whom nothing defeats.
Come to my bed, she cried, hoarse with passion.
Oh, good. I like stories about horses.
Well, go on, number one. What did we do then?
Don't tell me. The hero here prevailed, striding swiftly to the sty, a secret salve smoothly smeared Circe swine-wise, and lo!
Lo, the crew!
Bronzed and bulging, huge and hairy.
Bring those handsome bulging sailors, she insisted.
My nymphs away, and a right old time of it we shall all have.
Well, go on, number one. What did we do then?
Tell us.
You feasted.
Oh, feasted.
You danced. Oh, how we danced on the night we were fed. Yes, go on.
I'm enjoying this. It's well worth a utility boat, don't you think?
Let's take a little break. Wine all round.
Here, Val. You remember any of this?
No. But that's the quintessential of art and life.
In it. And while we seem to be waiting, I should like to give you a full and entire account at first hand of the first 9 years of the Siege of Troy. One day when I rose from my bed, I think it was day, it might have been night now I come to think of it. Actually, it may not even have been a bed, you know, on campaign. That's what we call it when we're on military duty. Sorry, where was I? In bed. No, getting out of bed. If it was a bed and not a sleeping bag in the field. But not actually a field, of course, technical term, to be in the field.
Well, he did it. Our lord and master did it.
Flogging marble.
They all seem to crack after 9 hours.
You really, girls, you don't find whatever I say, boring, do you? You really, girls?
Sorry, sir, were you saying something?
Not really. Now, look, the chart shows has overhead. Sirens, half bird, half woman. They lure chaps onto the rocks with their unearthly song.
Can't we just sail round them, sir? Give it all a miss.
Afraid not, old chap. Destiny, you know. But don't worry, I've got it all worked out. I'll tell you later. Carry on.
Oh, Zeus.
What is it, Chief?
There's a hazard up ahead.
Tell us the worst.
Oh, not to worry. He's got it all worked out.
Oh, fair enough. Not the worst of that.
Thus quit we the hero edging near his destiny,
and casting wide our net of words, entrap we his gracious queen, half an ancient world away.
For Queen Penelope, a problem sharp and daunting as any afflicting her wandering lord,
who
asks the whole palace, nay, the whole kingdom demands.
Who unravels by night in stealth the tapestry so carefully woven by day?
Qui bono?
They would say, if only they spake Latin. Who benefits?
Not the soulful, doleful queen, for all the world believes 'tis she, the royal royal reputation plummets. She benefits not as the world comes to see.
Not the maddened, saddened suitors, for it is to their good that she complete the work and choose.
Meantime, the stately queen bears all with modest calm and dignity.
I don't believe it. I don't frogging believe it.
Was the paddler all
right? It's frogging impossible. The guards insist nobody's been allowed anywhere near this loom. Who's doing it? Who's undoing it? That's every frogging day since the announcement. 21 times I've raveled this tapestry, and every frogging night it's unraveled by somebody. Who? All right, all right. Try again. And when you leave the room, get one of the guards to sprinkle flour or salt all round the doors. At least we'll know which way he gets in. That's a surprisingly sensible idea. Good. See it done. Meanwhile, I need something to calm me down. Bring me a small suitor. No, make it a large one.
Neat.
Tell him I shall wait for him on the seashore.
On the rocks.
All right, men. The rocks must be just ahead of us.
That's us done, then?
No, no. The rocks themselves are no danger, but upon them perch the sirens, half bird, half woman.
Which half?
Their song is the trap in which we may founder.
Wonderful.
The unearthly voices spin sound of such silver entrancement that men turn wild, blood boils, and their senses flail and thrash to uncontrolled destruction. Now, I've lashed myself to the mast. Are you Rillikers?
Sir.
Bind hard my hands behind me.
Sir.
Now, very well, men. Listen. No matter what I say, no matter what I appear to wish, I command you to take no notice. Is that understood?
Definitely.
Well, that's your hand secured behind you, sir.
Good. Next, the warm wax, which will stop ears to the fatal allurement.
Got it here, sir.
Good. Then insert the warm wax into both my ears and sail on. Onward toward the hazard of the dreadful sirens, and, if it be fate's plan, safely by.
That's your left ear filled with wax, sir.
What?
And there, that's your right ear, Blotch.
Eh? What did you say, number one?
This is all very silly.
Want us to row this stretch, number one?
As the rocks. Ah, the mist's clearing. There they are. Now I think we'll simply sail straight past, okay?
Anybody see anything strange on the top?
No. Hear anything? Now, all listen. Better safe than sorry.
Peaceful, isn't it?
Just a minute. Excuse me. I think I may possibly have got this wrong. Excuse me. I say. No, you see, you were supposed to have had the wax. Hello. You see, if you hear the fatal song, it'll be pretty dicey. Charmed or maddened. Can anybody hear? Hello? Look, I think we ought to rethink this situation. Hello? Anybody here? Look, I think it's all gone wrong.
You know, I feel quite sorry for him.
Oh, for yourself you should be feeling sorry for.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, what's waiting for me back home? Put him up front. Queen, palace, riches, son and heir. All his the moment he sets foot in Ithaca. And he can't. It's a nightmare for him, round and round and frogging round, but never home and safe and dry.
He's a Wally.
All the world's a Wally. We're lucky we haven't been found out yet.
I've got a wife and kids.
You had a wife and kids 20 years ago. Your kids have grown up with kids of their own. They won't want to know you. Your missus, she'll have remarried if she's any sense.
Here, look out! What's this? We're veering to the left.
Oh, that's what comes of criticizing
kids. Some of the turbulence has forced for this in a circle round the anchor chain. Again! It's faster now. We're going down!
Don't tell me. The dreaded swirling waters of the whirlpool Charybdis.
Sucking hapless mariners down, down to a dreadful doom, lovely.
but I want the smirky one with the funny legs to tell us he's grade one barge.
Quite right, too. I mean, I suppose you'll need another ship, and, well, frankly, that does depend on putting on a good show here, doesn't it, fellow Scrofulans?
Yeah. Well,
so on we go, Squire, eh?
Rosy-fingered Dawn had chewed her sunny fingernails down to the quick.
I am Odysseus, red-haired Odysseus, him of the nimble wits whom nothing defeats.
Sure you are, Squire, sure you are. But you see, we just want a good story. You want a boat.
At first, nothing. The uneasy grumbling of shipboard, grudging sea pressure, the sly eeriness of breath in still air not yet become a breeze, the clink, tug, chink of anchor chain in the slow, deep, low, steep, to and fro creep of the Odyssey rocking sea. Fall to it yearly or we run ourselves aground! Cheerly, cheerly, my hearts! Take in the topsail, tend to the master's whistle, blow till thou burst thy wind, if room enough. And now the storm blast came, and he was tyrannous and strong. He struck with overtaking winds and chased us south along. Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the very of death sailed Eurylochus, me and the chaps.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes.
Oh,
go on,
yes,
go on.
Yes, please.
Oh, well done, my lord.
If this is to be eternal fate, the sooner I get used to it, the better.
More wine.
And more story.
This is more like it.
It shows what he can do if he pulls his finger out. What a bow.
Well, a lovely story.
So did I. The way we got round the whirlpool and then lost half our mates.
Plucked from their places by a six-headed monster.
Man-eating monster.
I stand corrected.
All right, sir. Very quiet.
Easier to make it up.
Sir?
Life and all that. Easier to make it up than tell the truth. People prefer it. I never knew. Listen to Stroke and Bow. They more than half believe it.
Soon be dusk, sir. Better think about heaving too.
Listen.
Sir?
Shh.
Land ho, sir. Tiny island in the middle of nowhere.
This is pretty damn peculiar.
I don't suppose it could be... Oh, no!
Well, what, man? Speak up.
The mythical island of the goddess Calypso.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Heavy, relentless rhythm. Building up, too.
Drums, maracas, and awful, awful jollity.
Chorus force 10 imminent, sir!
Yes, it's true. Yes, it's us. We're versatile, we're versatile, and don't make no fuss. We're banging our bongos, we're snapping our steel to keep the story on its feet and sort our reels. So don't yawn, don't be bored. Shuffle your maracas and sit up on your door. Let the beasts come, don't let the men go. This island is the island of Calypso.
Don't time drag when you're having a really frogging awful time.
All ashore, chaps. Sorry.
Here, look at this sundial. It's spinning like a top.
Yes, for about 8 minutes on Calypso's island. Or is it the other way around, or both? My beard's creeping down to my chest. I can see it growing. Where's it all coming from? Help!
I'm going old and wrinkled. I'm
terribly sorry.
This island, it's a riot. For Odysseus longs for peace and quiet. For hands got to clap and you can't control your feet. And everything happens to Calypso feet. Yes, too much, just want to scream. The waistline's expanding from peaches and cream. Can't jog, couldn't row, and we go to some crazy here on Calypso.
How long we been here now?
4 years. What's your name? Brown cow? Yeah, 4 years. Have another melon.
More honey for anyone. More wine.
Just see Odysseus mope. He's a different man now. He's given up hope. He dreams by the seashore. And what does he see? It's the cat and Penelope.
It's true, no confusions. He's a changing man now, he's losing illusions. A sad man longing for a quid pro quo. And he can't stand the island of Calypso.
Steel bands, fusion, nerve ends.
Can't stop tapping with your toe.
The bongos bruise my brain cells. Can't stop rocking to and fro.
7 years seems 7 weeks.
Oh, Calypso, release us from enchantment. Odysseus and Co.
Pity start to grow. When she saw they were unhappy on the Isle of Calypso, she said, I release you to go on his dock. I suggest you make you a waterproof raft.
They whistled, yes, they laughed. They worked like ten, like crazy men to make their raft. They jogged and they fasted, knowing it was wise. They even took up aerobic exercise. Calypso spoke, I'll bring you luck. I'm good with boats, you'll find this boat just like a duck. You toil like titans and your work rates mean satanic. You deserve your fate, I nominate this clock Titanic. Away, away they ride into the sunset on the evening tide. Bye, bye, their faces glow. Farewell forever to Calypso.
There goes another episode in the saga that it's no use telling the truth about.
Yes, quite.
You all right, you two chaps?
Yeah, thank you, sir. My beard slowed right down again.
My wrinkles are stabilizing.
Jolly good. Well done.
Silence. Back straight and eyes on me. No fidgeting. Agelaus. Good. Now, I am very disappointed in somebody who is right here in this hall with us. Yes, somebody is letting our good name down, and I won't have it. All suitors dated for a week.
Oh.
Yes, I know, and I want everybody to be happy. Oh. I do. I don't like having to be strict and unpleasant like this, but 7 years... Seven years! And I don't even like Homecrafts. My fingertips are shredded. I don't have any fingertips anymore. Oh, please, please, I can't stand it. I've had the loom locked in the palace's deepest dungeon. And still, somebody is unraveling the tapestry.
All right, chaps. This has gone on long enough.
Yes.
Secret meeting at midnight in the secret place. Password, Geronimo. Got it? Geronimo.
Yes.
Right. Dismiss.
How are you feeling, Mom?
I'm losing my grip. I can't take much more.
Your mother needs her son at a time like this.
I'm not that desperate yet. Oh, Eurycleia, you mess. Who's doing this to me?
There. I'll send someone down for a nice long cool suitor and a drink.
Thank you.
Any ice, dear?
Ice. Don't say that word.
Now what's wrong?
You mess.
Sooth. I'm saying sooth. Danger. Ice. Danger at sea. Sooth. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Sudden twinge. Weather, I expect.
Are you feeling moderately sane?
Scaring us like that, silly old swineherd. Now, you make up for it by going and getting Missy a nice long suitor.
Right.
Ice in the sea. Olives or a cherry, dear?
It's got very cold these last weeks, sir. Are you quite sure we're sailing south?
Positive.
Something white and glistening a long way off the starboard bow.
Really?
Good show. Let's go and take a really close look.
Running bear?
No.
Dancing horse?
Oh. No.
Randy goat?
Oh, come on, Amphibian. You're not trying and I can't let you in without the password.
Little moose.
Oh, for God's sake, let him in.
Hello.
It was Domino, by the way, Alfie.
No, it wasn't.
Isn't it? Oh.
Now, listen. The purpose of this meeting is to decide how it's possible for some person...
Or persons unknown.
Unknown, to break nightly into the palace, bypassing 200 guards to a tapestry.
Even though the loom's in a dungeon on the lowest level of the palace.
No. The dungeon where the loom is at present is on the lowest level of the palace. Yes. And the loom itself is caged about by spiked metal bars.
Except...
For the gate where the queen gets in. Yes, thank you. And the door is chained and locked each day when the tapestry is completed. Any ideas?
Well, you can't get in from above because of the cage.
Nor from the sides.
Without the key for the lock.
Which is changed nightly.
Which leaves getting in from below.
Which is impossible unless you have a tunnel.
Like ours.
Precisely.
Which passes below the old craft centre and comes to an end...
Beneath the dungeon.
Exactly.
So it's all impossible.
Unless there happens to be an identical tunnel to this...
In the identical place.
Which is impossible. So, therefore, this person...
Or persons unknown...
Is...
Or are...
Using our tunnel...
And about to appear...
At any moment.
Telemachus!
Telemachus, Eurydamus, Namphimedon, what are you doing here?
We might ask you the same question.
Well, what does it look like? I'm unravelling the work on the loom. I don't intend my mother to marry one of you lot and disinherit me.
Well, we heard you were enjoying yourself in Sparta.
Nobody could enjoy himself in Sparta. I'm living at the palace farm with Eumaeus the swineherd, who is sworn to secret and a right pain to boot. There we await the return of my father.
Excuse my saying so, Telemachus, but isn't that possibly, well, a shade optimistic?
We have a saying in Ithaca. No man is without hope save only he who, naked, melts the iceberg whereon he floats.
Wow.
There is a problem. Heroes are born to them, and I have one here. Heroes have a traditionally instinctive way with a problem. Identify, isolate, remove the cause, then rush on to the next problem. Whether we do more harm than good is irrelevant. Action is all. The total purpose of heroship is to do and suffer the consequences. We are not much given to thought, and I at last see why. Thought and action are incompatible. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Why do they say that? I do not know. I do know, however, whither I am bound. I am bound for humiliation, wrinkled and bollock naked. Is this real life, I ask? I have the feeling that it is. I, the sea, and this iceberg exemplify a dilemma of mankind. Like my former beliefs, this berg is cold, hard, conjured up in an alien world, and indifferent to my well-being. It is also shrinking appreciably, falling away piece by piece, joining itself with the warmer anonymity of this wine-dark sea. Yes, even as I think such thoughts, my supporting beliefs are melting beneath me, and I say to myself, Odysseus, will you be a happier man for drowning wisely in an uncaring sea of uncertainty? Or would you rather be a fish?
You will, of course, know that 7/8 of an iceberg lie below the waterline, and will readily appreciate, therefore, how difficult, not to say near impossible, it becomes to remain clinging to the wet, smooth surface of the upper eighth as the entire bulk slowly decreases.
Simple physics will suggest to you that this becomes rather like riding a monocycle in deep, deep treacle, and that sometime when the weights of Odysseus and his iceberg were roughly equal, he had to fall off.
But fate or some kindly god had floated a tree trunk into his path, which the divine will had presumably intended him to seize, but upon which Odysseus, being a wally, struck his head and knew no more,
until such time as you shall hear.
Polyphletes primly pens and prime papyrus. Where's the prime papyrus? Polyphletes primly.
Dear God, not another idyllic island of half-clothed nubile girls. Oh, the ravages of raft wreck. Where are my clothes? My skin is torn, I'm bruised, my hair is matted with seaweed. What if these innocent creatures should come upon me? I must at least conceal my manhood. Oh, this scrap of thorn bush must suffice. Stow!
Shh! Did anybody hear anything?
Ladies, young lady.
Oh, it's a nasty ragged man.
And naked.
I think we've roused him.
Gosh, so we have.
Ladies, I beg you, ow!
The rascal's covering himself with a bush.
It's not a very big bush, is it?
No. Perhaps it doesn't need to be.
Oh, what a shame.
Will you go away?
Don't let's go too near.
I order you not to be frightened. On closer examination, I think he's rather sweet. Shall we clean him up?
Oh, yes.
Get the basket. Rascal, why are you all crouched up like that?
Because this thorn bush has enmeshed me in a difficult and embarrassing position, which is namely all crouched up like this.
I see. I shall help you.
No, please.
Oh, don't be so silly. I am a king's daughter.
I am a king.
There you are, then. We shouldn't be too middle class about it all.
What kingdom is this?
Fisha. My father is King Alcinous.
And you, princess? Ouch!
There. You're free, if a bit scratched. My name is Nausicaa.
What a charming name. How old are you?
16, but immensely precocious. Come, girls, hurry up. Now, stranger, lie back and enjoy our ministrations. You're quite old. Why aren't you at home?
Yeah, I've been fighting at Troy.
But that ended years ago.
I know.
Oh, you must be Odysseus, Nimblewit and Wally. Good. Papa does so enjoy a good story. Though, of course, we are quite anti-war and blood sports in Fisha.
We've got the basket of soap and olive oil, Nausicaa.
Good. Under all that weed, slime, grime and encrusted blood, you're quite muscly. We shall make you presentable again.
I really must refuse. I am a king and of middle years. All of you and... So if you don't mind...
Enjoy our attention.
I regret. I am quite unable to cooperate. Appreciated though.
Right, girls, to work with a will. Zara, pass the scissors. Round and round the royal rascal.
Randy Rompers Riddle.
Oh, he's obviously suffered the doom of shipwreck. What do you think happened to his hapless fellows? I do wish you girls would use ordinary language. Only very pompous and pretentious bourgeois confuse verbosity with significance.
Sorry.
Alas, the luckless fate of those whose doom.
Mariners, like their quondam king.
Him?
You must be wondering what happened to the others.
Absolutely.
Land ho at last!
Yes.
Should be Ithaca.
Oh, you're a wonder, you are, number one.
Oh, nothing to it. Now, anyway, let's be a bit clever. Now, there may have been political changes, who knows. The best lie low a day or two. Now, we'll beach the raft at the cove by the farm.
Poor old Odysseus. What wouldn't he have given to see that particular line of sand and surf?
Don't write him off, me old mate. Indestructible heroes.
Homes. Wait, I'm...
The offshore island, Fisha, lay quite close to Ithaca. One day's sailing would easily do it, though Odysseus had in his time taken far longer to sail less.
Set handsomely between natural harbours, the city's approach lay through 4 acres of park and orchard. Keeping a respectful distance, as becomes a king, Odysseus followed Nausicaa's laundry cart between high, bright buildings until it turned through a gateway, the girls waving back happily until out of sight. Odysseus, the fighting hero, stalked on, alarmed at his rapidly changing moods, and now, at the unnatural way, passers-by insisted on smiling and calling greetings in his direction. What did they mean? What were they hiding?
He knew, of course, that the Phaeacians were weird, a laughing stock to their neighbors. alone of all the kingdoms, the Fetians haven't the slightest interest in bows, arrows, swords, spears, or violence of any kind. All their considerable wealth and energy was centered upon the building of graceful ships and the skill of seamanship. They also greatly enjoyed municipal and social improvements, which was comparatively easy, since they had no defense budget or armed services whatsoever. In this suspiciously unhostile atmosphere, Odysseus the hero felt more and more deeply threatened.
Inwardly sneering at the total lack of security, Odysseus passed through the spacious courtyard to the palace entrance, where golden doors swung from silver posts beneath a high bronzed arch. Still unchallenged, he strode along high-roofed corridors, where women sat at their spinning wheels discussing the relationship between art and science. For as the men are devoted to seamanship, so are the women to weaving and good conversation. It was widely believed they ate only wholemeal bread, grew none but organic vegetables, and in centuries to come would read the age.
Into the hall the hero strode, blue tiles of enamel-topped walls draped in Laura Ashley prints. Near the fireplace sat Queen Arete, delightfully weaving as her maidens sang nasal folk song. At her side, King Alcinous drank Bulgarian wine and talked of natural childbirth. As Princess Nausicaa had suggested, Odysseus knelt before the throne of the queen.
Who are you, sir?
She said.
Where are you from?
She added.
And why are you wearing my daughter's dress?
I am Odysseus.
The hero replied, more or less certain he was right.
King of mountainous Ithaca, on my way home from work.
He faltered.
How pleasant to see you, friend. Welcome.
They chorused.
How grand it would be to hear the true saga of your heroic adventures.
Yes, smashing.
Well,
He tried, but could not speak. God, Freud, or a terrible sense of silliness shackled his tongue.
I hear you visited the Lotus Eaters.
The king helpfully asked.
Can't remember.
Gasped Odysseus in panic.
Well, you wouldn't.
Glowed Arete.
The Fetians sniggered helpfully, and there was a long silence, broken only by the mellow flatulence of a high-fiber diet.
You hurried to Troy to avenge the kidnap of Helen, I believe.
Queen Arete prompted kindly.
No, it was an excuse for a trade war.
Groaned Odysseus in spite of himself.
The Fetians' smiles fixed slightly in another chasm of silence. They all held glances of bright, pitiless interest.
But tell us all.
Softly encouraged King Alcinous.
And Odysseus did. He was having a terrible time. He discovered he could only speak the truth. Luckily, the pacifist Fetians appreciated the complications behind talk of our lads, headlines of Greek nations revenge royal rape, and stick that up your astyanax. They nodded sympathetically, and Queen Arete called for decaffeinated coffee and more Bulgarian red. They enjoyed a good controversial documentary, and tears slid satisfyingly over the hero's cheeks.
Why don't we all play Scrabble?
The princess instinctively recognized distress.
Shush, my dear,
said her father.
The truth is so important that it will do our misguided friend here the world of good to get it off his chest.
The princess, being kinder, was not so sure.
We do understand,
wept the queen.
Warfare imposes such stress.
You personally accompanied Menelaus to Deiphobus' house, they say, where you slew him, in spite of promises that you would not.
But under orders,
I... Polydorus and Polyxena fell to your sword, didn't they? The latter as official sacrifice.
Yes, the priest said... You hurled the young child Astyanax to his death in the battlements.
And personally slew the old Queen Hecuba.
It has taken you how many years to find your way even as near to Ithaca as this? Ten?
And of the 12 ships with which you set sail, how many remain?
How many of your crew have perished beneath your control and command?
10? 15? 15?
Here, please, quickly.
Oh, hello, Fear. I was just saying that...
We shall wash from his body the sweat and the spittle.
In subtle clothes of homely elegance, we shall dress him.
Our best seaman shall make ready our best ship.
Under cover of darkness shall he go. By morning he will be home.
We are dumping the problem
somewhere else.
So came Odysseus home to his Ithaca, and none of this he knew, carried ashore unconscious and gently laid on the sand by the caring Phaeacians, who left unheard and unseen their minimal duty done. His coma owed less to one-punch fear than a subconscious reluctance to confront the unheroic realism that had begun on his iceberg.
So, at the very time, Odysseus felt less heroic, less sure, and less regal than at any moment of his life, he was brought home to a situation demanding all his confidence, all his regal and heroic virtues.
What? Where am I? How did I come here? Can this familiar shoreline be my beloved Ithaca? Have I ever been away? Or have I slept and dreamed? All a dream. Troy, a dream. Am I in fact Odysseus? Or have I dreamed that also? Who approaches? Ah, I am aware of a fact. I know this old man. He it was who made me what I am. How bent his back. How white his beard.
Here, pig, pig, pig. Come on, you swine.
I am home, and this is good, ancient Eumaeus. I meet him on my knees. Good old man. Look, I am kneeling.
Shut off, you kinky scumbag. Come on, pick. Come on.
Odysseus looked down at his reflection in a small pool of water. An old, grimy, wrinkled face stared beadily back, unrecognized.
Ah!
He held a hand before his eyes. The hand was gnarled, scarred, and scraggy. Not a royal hand.
Ah! But was Eumaeus here? And if so, who was it the old man met, kneeling before him in the dust?
Luckily, before he could get into all that and become really boring again, he was stung on the left buttock by a wasp. And with this new proof that he was probably Odysseus after all, he followed Eumaeus and his pigs at a distance, partly through prudence, but mostly because of the dreadful smell borne back on the retreating wind.
Hey, pig, 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 pig.
Eumaeus.
Hey, yes, Master Telemachus.
When you've stabled your pigs, or whatever it is you do with pigs, I shall require a word with you. I shall be up here, looking sneeringly down on the city.
Excuse me?
No, I'm terribly sorry. I have every sympathy with the begging situation, but arbitrary handouts are no substitute.
I don't think maybe you understand.
For a firmly based and securely operated state scheme.
I merely...
I'm awfully sorry, but I am a king's son, and I do know about these things.
What?
Now, in a good and even-handed democratic system... I said I know about these things.
Your name?
Any assumed and so-called right to so-called largesse. My name? Telemachus, Prince of Ithaca. But please don't feel in any way wretched or over-humble. Where was I? In such a system...
My son! Oh, my son!
There would not be the slightest need for... What do you mean, my son?
I am Odysseus.
And if, for instance, we study the economy of Athens... Sorry?
I am your father, Odysseus.
But they told me you stood 6'4" in your sandals. They told me you were in the early prime of manhood. They said...
Telemachus, my son.
Yes, well, Daddy?
Yeah, you leave him alone. That's a prince, that is. I told you once, scumbag. Illegal immigrant, son. I seen him by the seashore.
Eumaeus.
Yonder scrounge, are you? Go on, get from here.
Eumaeus.
Oh, he can speak, can he? Here, see this bucket of swill here?
Eumaeus.
If you want this round your head, you just go
Give
on.
Me the bucket, Eumaeus. Thank you.
I know what it is. It's funny, that. You're a bad impression of somebody we had round here once. Voice the same, too. Right. Yes, well, you want the bucket? You've got the bucket. It's you, ain't it? Swill, meet again, don't know where, don't know where. You were younger. Yeah, much younger.
It's him, lad, isn't it?
Stand still, you mess.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Ithacan. Ithacan who? Ithacan help somebody as I pass along, then my living has...
Oh.
Well, yes. Right, of course. So, things to talk over, Pater, before you mosey on into town, I think. Let's go inside. Some wine, maybe? A kebab or two? Have a good journey, Father, did you?
Lovely day for a stroll.
Lovely. What did that message say, Demo?
Nothing much. Just that it was urgent, essential, top priority and secret.
Oh.
Do you think we might walk a little faster?
Righto. Where is the palace farm, by the way?
Round the headland and up a hill.
Oh, Lord. Hang on, chaps. Sorry. Bladder, I'm afraid. All that fruit juice and coffee at breakfast.
You should have gone before we left.
Well, I'll just go over to the bushes on the shore. It's a bit urgent and top priority, too. Sorry to hold you all up.
I don't believe this.
Fought and won an epic war, travelled the entire ancient world, took 10 years to return, only to be peed over back on your own ground. Oi!
What?
Fish hole! Oh. Or at least 20 degrees starboard.
Oh, sorry. Do you mean like this?
That's pork!
Well, actually, fruit juice and coffee.
That does!
Oh, who's there? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I can't get in the way.
Very puzzling, I agree.
He's getting a terrific going over, do you know?
Yes, three of them.
Shouldn't we do something?
What do you mean?
I don't know. All for one for all, that sort of thing.
Doesn't really sound very practical. Still, I suppose you're right. Come on.
Stop that.
Look out, here's more.
Let them all come.
All for all and one for... Ow!
Now hear this.
It's you mayors encrusted in pig's will.
Hostilities to cease and all up to the old palace farm for urgent, essential, top priority and secret big reunion scene much beloved of epic authors, oh yay.
What on earth is he trying to tell us?
There's only one way to find out. After you.
Right. Thank you. I'm Demo Ptolemus, by the way. Friends call me Demo.
Oh, Eurylochus. My friends call me you. Pleased to meet you.
Imagine the scene in a sun-baked farmyard. The joyful reunion of colleagues long lost.
Ah, the chaps.
Yeah, right.
You were got back then. Oh, you know.
Envisage the joining of diffuse factions welded into a common aim.
You get some frogging service in.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
Nobody speaks with the guns like that. Frog off!
What does that mean exactly?
Hop it!
Cherish the emergence of the hero, fulfilling long-drawn destiny.
Good. Well, jolly pleased to meet you all, old friend, new friend. I think I've got it right. Seems my wife's been courted by 112 foreigners who've been here years... living off the Ithacan economy. Got it right, have I?
Basically.
And they don't want to go home?
No.
And I'm expected to, what? Get rid of them, am I?
Kill the frogging lot.
Steady on.
Present company accepted.
A problem. Problem is, I'm not sure.
Not sure? Not sure? Your wife besieged, your son likely to be disinherited, your kingdom ravaged by luxury-loving scroungers, and you're not sure? You're a hero! My hero! All these years I've wanted a hero for my daddy, and I've never heard of one who's not frogging sure!
Well, there was Troy, you see. Not pretty, not nice. Killing gets me so... final. And it's been the most awfully long trip home. I don't suppose it can all be amicably settled, no?
But it's expected of you.
Ah, but by whom?
Everybody!
Don't suppose anyone knows of a boat leaving on the next tide? I mean, everything seems very quiet down in the city and, well, blood, you see. 11 pints per body sounds quite a lot, but it isn't really.
Better if I just slipped away. Sorry, I'm not the man I was. I don't think maybe I ever have been. Tired. I'll go inside, a little lie down.
And is this red-haired Odysseus of the nimble wits, the man of cunning who is ready for anything?
Well, not so much red-haired.
And was this man the hero of the massacre of Troy?
Oh, he did his bit.
And is this the iron-muscled god on earth whose homecoming would strike terror in the hearts of each intruder?
Well, it's been an awfully long journey.
And can this be done?
I say, don't go on and on. Telemachus, you're his son. Go in and talk with him.
Oh, very well. If you think it might help.
Eumaeus, give Ptolemus a stroke, bow. Over here, please. Now, it's obvious we have got to solve this, since we're the only ones not senile, stupid, simple-minded, or sick.
But what about me and Eurydamus?
You go and play with the animals.
Oh, super.
I have a plan. Now, listen very carefully indeed. This will need exact timing, but I think if we play our cards right, we stand a chance. Without any trouble at all. Now, any questions?
Oh, it's dangerous. It's exceeding dodgy.
Work, will it, number one? You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Now listen while I go over the plan once more, and remember, the timing will be essential and quite crucial to the whole.
And a very good evening and welcome to all suitors gathered for fun night. So, fill your goblets and gobble your fillets. Here's a ritual toast to our generous hostess, wherever she may be. And now, everybody on the floor, if you please.
Oh, I don't know what on earth's to become of me.
You should get out more.
The last suitor to be honored by my attentions asked if he'd have the light out. The queen has her pride, Eurycleia. I could almost wish for you-know-who back. He wasn't much, but half a hero is better than none.
Oh, don't be morbid. Come on, it's time for your bath. I'll let it run.
I remember the days when I'd bathe before. I remember the days when I'd bathe afterwards. I never thought I'd live to see the day I'd bathe instead.
Oh, come on, cheer up. One of the girls says we got a stranger in the palace.
Oh, what sort of stranger?
Oh, about 40. Bigger type, she says, but oh, very nice thighs. A bit bearded and begrimed, but oh, she did like his thighs. Hello. Got an interest back in life all of a sudden, have we?
It would only be polite to welcome a new face.
Just the face? Thighs hard as marble, she said.
Thigh no more, lady. Lady, thigh no more.
I'll send down for him.
I think he should go.
Are you mad?
It's his voice is the giveaway.
Why must he speak? Why not a silent stranger? A mute.
What do you say, Father?
Will I recognize her? I've kept that image for half a lifetime. Her face as I sailed from the harbor 20 years ago.
Everybody changes, son.
Add a wrinkle or two, I suppose. Or three. And a bit more flesh for a wrinkle or two to cling to. All right. I'll go.
Come on, I'll walk up with you.
Good luck, Lord Odysseus. I'm fine. Now, is everyone quite sure of his part in stage two?
I don't even know stage two. Nobody tells me anything.
Well, this is what is going to happen. And as ever, the most precise timing will be absolutely vital.
You know, I don't really understand what's expected of me, Eumaeus. The plan seems to be, flexible. I don't see why I have to be somebody else.
You leave the others to worry about that. You're doing fine. You keep in the shadows, son.
That him?
That's him.
That is him, his lordship.
That's what I said, didn't I? It's a secret. Pretend not to know. There's a plan.
What plan?
There's no time, and they'd only fade us out if I told you. He's a mute, dumb, right?
Is that the stranger?
Look after him and slip out when you can. I'll stay here and put you in the picture.
Eurycleia?
All right, all right.
Keep your eye on him. You know what Rose is like.
Well, I should. Come on, stranger.
Yes, go with this woman. And the best of Ithacan look.
Here he is. Queen of of Ithaca, romantic stranger.
You have a name?
He doesn't speak.
Well, where's he from?
Don't know.
Mysterious and fascinating. You look, without all that hair and beard, you look...
I'm not getting the scissors out at this time of night, if that's what you're thinking.
My stranger, you seem very tense. I know, Euryclea, why don't we give the stranger a bath?
Well, well, what a surprising idea.
I won't look. Not until all that ingrained grime soaks out, and those hard muscles gleam and ripple beneath skin soft and bronzed with olive oil. Actions speak louder than words, after all.
Come on, stranger, bath.
Quiet, everybody! Quiet! Quiet. Very simple game. I whisper a message at this end of the hall. Deemer Ptolemus whispers another down there at the opposite end. And we see how they come out when they've passed through the entire company.
Like the proverbial Joseph Soaks. Good game! Good game! Off we go!
The man who has just gone upstairs to the armory is my father in disguise.
Pass it on. Off you go, Deemer.
No, King Odysseus has sworn to slaughter all suitors on his return.
Pass it off.
So you see, handsome stranger, how life has become for the poor, solitary woman you see before you. Alone, all alone.
You will take 112 suitors.
What?
You keep still, stranger. You don't want soap in your eyes, do you?
And my much-lamented husband. Such a virile man.
Like me, before
what? Right, head under the water. Get the shampoo out.
Did he say something, Ricky? I
shouldn't think so.
And what's the message from your end of the hall, Demo?
The man who has just gone upstairs to the armory is your father in disguise.
Namely, King Odysseus, who has sworn to slaughter all suitors on his return.
Good game, good game. This has been your herald and master of ceremonies, now about to embark down at the...
Close the doors, herald. Now, I'd like to introduce Eurylochus to the company. He and his two colleagues here survived the war in Troy and sailed home in secret in company with the King Odysseus.
Good evening. We just wondered if you'd care to hear, as part of your fun night, how Odysseus of the nimble wits...
The man who is ready for anything...
And hero of Troy... Slew Polyphemus, the one-eyed cannibal giant...
Outwitted the enchantress Circe, who had transformed through witchcraft his entire company into bees.
Heard the fatal song of the sirens and steered us safely past. And overcame Scylla, the man-eating monster, after riding a deadly whirlpool of Charybdis.
Survived shipwrecks.
Ever so many shipwrecks. To come home at last and find 112 of you besieging his wife, intending to disinherit his son, living on the fat of his land, and generally being a terrible bore.
Happy ending, Squire. I do like happy endings.
Of course, we all like happy endings. And a happy ending we shall have, if every one of you does precisely what I say.
Yes, we have a plan.
Which goes something like this. Now listen extremely carefully, and remember, timing is the one vital and essential ingredient.
Alone and unwanted all these...
Yes,
days.
Come out here.
Files of royalty.
All right, you. I want to know what's going on.
That's what I come to tell you, ain't it? Now, listen very carefully. The plan is this, and it all depends on everybody doing the right thing.
Speak up!
I said it all depends on everybody doing the right thing.
Now, this is how things stood. Penelope sat quietly alone in her room, wondering what it had been about the shy and dumbstruck stranger that had been, at the same time, so very different and yet so peculiarly familiar.
Eurylochus and Demoptolemus went peacefully about persuading 109 quivering suitors how much better off and alive they would be by accepting a small monetary consideration and free passage to wherever they wished, a list having been drawn up of various Mediterranean queens, princesses, enchantresses, and nymphs, all willing and available. The other conspirators prepared for what was to be, even by Ithacan standards, a major production piece. Luckily, charades had always been popular in passing long winter evenings among the suitors.
The confused and home-come king was also quiet, sipping behind closed doors, the keys to which were not in his possession, a gently ruminative wine, and entire silence fastened finally upon the star-strung palace.
At 8:15 precisely, Eurylochus climbed upon a table at one end of the hall, coughed, politely tapped his baton upon Telemachus' head, and began.
Stand by, everyone. And cue your mares upstairs, running on the spot outside Penelope's room.
Oh, terror, confusion, and dismay. Fall out the guards. Stand by your beds.
What on earth is that?
I'll go and see. You stay in here.
This is becoming a most peculiar evening.
What on earth is this meant to be?
Oh, sound effects. Go on. You know your lines. Get shouting and lock the door.
Eurylochus, what's happening out there?
Oh, I don't know. I've done some daft things in my life. Oh, what can this be? Men everywhere, run into the armory.
Oh, I'll stop this.
Well, you may us anyway.
Oh! Oh! Glorious day! He is returned!
Whither art thou bound?
What?
Where are you going?
What?
Oh, it's like a stereophonic nightmare. Speak up, you silly old fool. She can't hear you.
Oh, men! Bear from the royal armory the great bow which the cunning Odysseus alone can bend.
Who's wearing a crape bow?
To bear also with the great bow the 12 accents through whose ornamental rings only he could fire a single arrow.
Your husband, the stranger's your husband. He's back and they're fetching the great bow, right?
I command you, release me.
No, the danger, lady, the danger. King said in particular how you was to stay there, locked up for your safety. He'll fetch you at the outcome, dead or alive.
Oh, wonderful. Get downstairs, you old fool. This is never going to work.
It'll work if everybody keeps to the plan instead of flying off the handle.
Will you unlock this door?
Now, don't go on. I'll keep you up to date with what's happening.
Telemachus tries to bend the bow. He nearly succeeds. Now the crowd reacts. I'll back up a little more reaction, perhaps. Oh, good, 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 good. And he fails. Oh, that is excellent. Right, now, general fear and apprehension. Oh, that's really very good. That's grand. And now, here comes the king.
Oh! It's him! It's the stranger! He's stripping off his rags!
Oh, let me out!
Excellent! And the king takes up the bow, strings, and arrow. Now, the big moment. Come on, chaps. Ooh. Come on. Oh. Now, ready with the creaky door?
Yes.
Catgut?
Got it.
Spoons?
Oh, here.
Now, creak. Come on, much more noise as the king bends his bow. Come on, much more. He takes aim.
He's bending it, he's doing it. His mighty muscles mature but massive, strain and bulge as he raises the monstrous bow and takes aim. Oh, the suspense.
And, quiet, shh. And, go. Uproar!
Done it! He's done it!
Oh, my God, he's done it!
Fine. Ready, Telemachus?
Quite ready.
And
here stand I at your side, father, your son and heir, resplendent in bronze helmet, shield, spear, and...
Sword.
A sword!
and at your other side, I, Eumaeus, although I be.
That's awfully good. Antinous, challenge, please. And ready with the catgut again.
You! Who are you? Any man with the common neck could easily...
The king looses his shaft and strikes him through the throat. Dropping his cup, Antinous lurches over, and his lifeblood gushes from his nostrils in a turbid jet.
And cue Demoptolemus.
But look here. Damn it all. I mean to say...
Oh, come on, man. More urgency. Just feel it, Demo.
Sorry. Our weapons. Who has hidden our weapons? Right, cue.
Our weapons! Who has hidden our weapons?
Right, Q. Oh, Zeus. Come on, all right. Consternation, please, and take up the cry.
Ha-ha! On the orders of my father, the nimble-witted Odysseus here at my side, they have been hidden. Seal the doors. And may they be locked.
So look your last on this palace you have sullied, and this king you have insulted, and this prince whom you have so hugely underestimated.
Fine. Maybe just pull the performance down just a little, Telemachus. Right, now, everybody, stand by for mayhem.
It's going to be mayhem down there.
Mayhem?
Now Eurylochus rushes at Lord Odysseus, but is struck through the nipple so hard that his liver is pierced, and the fog of death descends. The insolent suitors stampede, like cattle maddened by gadfly, while my lord and his bold band pursue and act them down. Hideous groans are heard. The floor runs with blood.
Hideous groans, chaps. Oh! Oh! Right, buckets of pig's blood, please, you may ask. Right. Now, if we could all die, please. Oh!
I say, I'm rather enjoying the heroic life.
Grab hold of this bucket and slosh the blood up the walls. And the rest is silence.
Open the door!
More than me job's worth, lady. Not for the eyes of a nervous, delicate queen, the sight that now I see, the removing of the bodies and the scraping bits and pieces off of the walls.
Oh, my God!
That's got you quiet, me lady.
Thank you, Polybus. I hope you enjoy a scruff.
Oh, thank you, I will.
Oh, and here it is. Thank you, and do give my best wishes to Calypso.
Will do.
Ah, Demo.
Has Telemachus gone to fetch his father?
Yes, he's due at any moment, and well done.
Well done yourself. Masterly.
Thank you.
I've just come from the harbour.
Yes.
Eurydamas and Amphimedon are doing pretty well, boarding all the suitors in their various crafts.
Good, good. Well, then, the three of you are going to have a day or two up at the farm, I hear.
Yes. See you up there tomorrow for a jar, maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
Colleague,
here we go, number one. All right, everybody out who should be out.
And here comes Prince Telemachus with his father. Three cheers for King Odysseus. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
All this blood.
Well done, my lord.
Fantastic, sir.
What?
112 slain, father. What can a proud son say?
But you're all covered with blood.
No wonder, lord.
And we'd all like to crowd round you and...
pat you on the back.
Embrace you.
But I don't like blood. Look, stop. I'm being smeared all over with blood.
Would you command that the door to the Queen's chambers be now unlocked, my lord? Unlock, Her Majesty.
What?
Not surprising you're dazed, King.
Fought like a demon, real bloodlust.
I'm going mad.
Odysseus, can it indeed be you?
Yes, I'm led to believe so.
I've never seen so much blood. Are you wounded?
Am I wounded?
Oh, most unlikely, sir.
No, consensus seems to be I am not.
Eurycleia?
the bath.
No, no, really.
I myself shall wash that strange-smelling blood from your thighs and body and soothe your aching limbs with sweet oil and gentle caress.
I command as king. No, what I mean is, number one, what do I mean?
What you mean, O king, is that you and the queen intend to retire, whilst I, the staff, and other combatants wash away the filth of battle from ourselves and this hall. You also intend to declare a victory feast for midnight.
I do.
You do.
Then that's what I do. Take my arm, Penelope.
Must I? It's very messy.
Oh, it worked. I don't hardly believe it.
It was very lucky.
What a battle. I was superb in horsehair plume and bronze. Did you see me? I slew Amphinous, Eurydice, Amphimedon. I, Telemachus, son of the hero and suitor slayer, ordain wine followed by cleansing. Bring wine, wenches. Have water boiled, bondsmen. To the victors, the spoils. Eh, gentlemen? I think we can be pretty well content with the battle plan I chose.
Name now the schemers whose courage and cunning succeeded in bringing Odysseus home. Can we forget them? No. Loyal Eurylochus, stroke, yea, and bow, who endured fate and foam.
The underground suitors, Demoptolemus, Eurydamas, Amphinedon, soothsaying swineherd Eumaeus, Telemachus, son, Eurycleia, handmatron. On the century of suitors we need not delay us. These we sing.
These we sing.
Let their famous names ring. After 10 years of homecoming, see now their king as he rises to speak. See this hall hushed with pride.
The comely Penelope glows at his side. In the warmth of this moment, with tears, eyes are blurred. And even your chorus is lost for a word.
Just to say, it's jolly nice to be home and thank my crew, long-suffering crew, what's left of them. A puzzling sort of time since returning, but also like to thank wrinkled old retainers, Eurycleia and Eumaeus. Wish to announce self-retiring from heroship. I'm too old now. Lots of catching up to be done. Lovely wife, dear old Ithaca. We'd like everybody to stay on and have fun, but Her Majesty and I will, well, 20 years is a long time and all that.
Give us the taper, Eumaeus.
You light the wall lamps. I'll see the candles. They'll look pretty.
Not that we'll get much thanks.
Hey-up.
I'm not disputing that it must have been irritating. All I'm asking is, how could it take 10 years? I could swim it in a fortnight.
Oh, he hasn't got your muscles, love.
Out, both of you.
Nothing more you fancy. Bacon sandwich, a pork scratcher.
Out!
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
I cost 20 oxen when I was a young girl, you know.
They were wrong.
Oh, give over.
You've got varicose veins.
Expect I have.
Otherwise, you've kept your body in alarmingly good trim. I was very impressed by the dumb stranger.
You look...
No, thank you.
I was going to say, charming.
It'll be good for Telemachus to have a father about the place again.
Will it be good for you to have a husband?
I'll tell you that in a month or so. I've had my admirers, you know.
112, but who's counting?
Did you have lovers?
Yes. Did you have a special suitor?
Yes. What was yours called?
Nausicaa. Yours?
Polybus.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Laughter. I don't think I can remember much laughter. Any laughter for 20 years.
Odysseus, welcome home. Mm.
That was Odysseus on an Iceberg by Alec Rowe. Odysseus and Penelope were played by Ron Hadrick and Amber May Cecil. The chorus was Rick Hutton and Philip Hinton. The crew,